The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is written in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 7, plus chapter 19, 13 to 15.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a little child and had him stand among them, and he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come." Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on his way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. And do please be seated. As you sit, we pray together. And Father, we continue to pray that you will speak into our lives and that you will be our guide and wisdom in all situations, as individuals and as a church together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is the start of a consultation about children receiving communion in this church. If you don't have children, you may think, what's the point of this for you? But I hope and pray that as a church together, we want to engage with the issues. We've been saying that we need to revisit how we engage with young families. There's clearly a generational issue going on, and there's a paper that was produced earlier in the summer that was sent out, and there are hard copies over there by the door if you still have a couple left if you want to take it. So it is a church issue about how we engage, and the issues about children and communion are a whole church issue. But also, I hope and pray that you will take on about children and about their role in God's kingdom, in his purposes, and about what we learn from children. And we'll talk about that a bit in a moment. But also to remind ourselves why communion is vital. Why communion is vital for the Christian life. So I hope and pray this is relevant for all of us today and through our church. If you've put on Christ, you are a full Christian. If you put on Christ, you are a full Christian. So said the very Reverend Archie Mandrite Ephraim Lash. Don't get names like that in the Church of England generally, because he's a bishop of the Orthodox Church. And he was speaking at the 2005 General Synod of the Church of England. It's a simple statement that surely no one can disagree with. If you put on Christ, you are a full Christian. And of course, the marker of putting on Christ is baptism, the act given to us by Jesus himself to show that we belong to him. At that general synod of our church, the Orthodox bishop challenged the synod members to reflect why was it then that baptized children were, in his words, starved for 14 years, starved of the bread and wine that, again, Jesus told us we are to eat and drink to fully know, receive him. Why was it, the bishop challenged, that children, full members of the body of Christ by baptism, were denied communion in our church until they were confirmed? In his own church, the Orthodox, which is the oldest of all denominations, children receive both the bread and wine as infants at baptism. And actually, the bishop was addressing a very receptive audience. The Church of England had been moving for at least 30 years towards including children in receiving communion. And legislation came into force the following year, 2006, which allowed children to receive communion in the Church of England. Today, in Guildford Diocese, for example, around one-third of our parishes include children in communion. And also, children receive communion at school Eucharists. For example, at Priory in Dorking, around 150 children attend the communion service. Hardly any of them have been confirmed, the usual means to communion in the Church of England. And I suspect that most other parishes in Guildford just have not considered the issue. Rather like me, us here in Westcott. And I'm convinced that this is a serious omission. I'm grateful to one of our parents for raising the issue. After prayer, reading and reflection, I am convinced that children receiving communion is right and vital. If we understand correctly the place of children in our church family and the importance of receiving communion, we will want to celebrate the church family meal together. We will want adults and children to receive communion. So we're going to look first at the vital place of children in God's kingdom, then remind ourselves of the vital need to receive communion, and then we will be bringing the two together to ask why is it that children currently are denied communion in our church. The vital place of children. You know, in the Old Testament, children are seen as a great gift, as a great blessing from God. Disaster is often emphasised in the plight of children. And as we heard in the Deuteronomy reading, faith must be passed on to our children and to their children after them. And furthermore, God works through particular children to bring his teaching and purposes. There are some examples that Stephen Lake, in his book Let the Children Come to Communion, gives. There is Isaac in the sacrifice story with his father Abraham. With Isaac, he was both questioning and silent in his acceptance that he must be part of God's plan. There is Samuel, who has the ideal vocation. And there he is as a young boy. He has commitment combined with enthusiasm. As Stephen Lake says, God is clearly content to use a child to model faithful response and to be his own messenger. And of course, there's the young shepherd boy David, continually showing himself to be wiser than the leaders of the day. In God's kingdom, children are precious and integral to his purposes. And those truths are emphasized in the teaching of Jesus. In Matthew 18, 1-5, as we just heard, there's a dispute about what it means to be a great human being. And Jesus says, to be like a child is the way to greatness. The dependence, simple belief, and trust of a child. In Matthew 18, 6-7, Jesus gives stern warning against anyone who is a stumbling block to children. And in Matthew 19, 13-15, Jesus exhorts us, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And the first Christians practice this. Peter proclaims at Pentecost that the promises of Christian faith are for you and your children. And apparently families and households were initiated into the faith together and children were to receive Christian instruction. Again, as Stephen Lake says, children are taken seriously by the early church. They are fellow disciples in the Lord. They are to be instructed alongside adults. The primary teachers of the faith to them are their parents who are co-workers in the Lord. But nonetheless, the church as a whole has a responsibility for families, for children. And Stephen Lake is referring to references from Colossians and Ephesians. There is more we could go on to reflect on why children being childlike are essential to our life and understanding. There could be much deep reflection on why was it that God, when he comes into our world, does not come as a superpower or superhero, but he comes as a child. Why does God do that? Coming in the form of a child was obviously deliberate and conscious, telling us something about God himself. So there could be further deep reflection about children and what we learn from them, why they're so vital and essential in God's purposes. But enough for the moment. We can summarise this. Children are precious to God, vital to his kingdom, full disciples in the church. So the vital place of children. What then about the vital place of communion? Children need to receive communion regularly, just as the adult Christian does. Otherwise, we are literally starved, albeit a spiritual starvation. Consider why Jesus gave us the act of Holy Communion. Why did, in his last act before he died, was taken prisoner and died the next day, why did he tell us to take and eat the bread, for this is my body, and drink from the cup, for this is my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins? Do this in remembrance of me. Maybe Christians generally do not appreciate enough the power of communion, why Jesus gave us this act that would bring his life to us. Of course, the oldest denominations, again, they do. They do recognise the vital importance of communion. Orthodox and Roman Catholic, the Mass is absolutely central to their practice of Christian faith. But somehow, in the tumult of the Reformation, much of the Protestant Church lost sight of how the practice of communion is vital. In many Protestant churches, even today, communion is reduced to an occasional service to remember the Last Supper, rather than as vital food and drink for the spiritual journey. Jesus gave us the act of communion, of course, because it is vital. He is especially present by the Holy Spirit. When you come up to receive the bread and the wine in a moment, he is especially present in that moment as you receive. In the words of one recipient, when asked why communion is important to him, he said, "I feel Jesus Christ inside me. I feel Jesus Christ inside me as I receive the bread and the wine." The person who said that was an 8-year-old boy in a church where they're allowed to receive communion. When we eat the bread and drink the wine in faithful remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice for us, he fills us. So why do we often neglect communion and deprive children of receiving? Why do we so easily move on from Jesus' words in John's Gospel? "Truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Yes, that daily feeding on Jesus is in prayer and worship, but it is also a literal receiving of bread, his body, wine, his blood. Without this, we starve. Children are vital, communion is vital. How is it then that we've separated children from what is necessary to them, to us all, for our discipleship in Christ? Why do we not allow children to receive communion? As we have seen in the early church, it is almost certain that children receive communion from baptism just as adults did. We know that our communion service is shaped from the Jewish Passover, and children had a full role in that ritual. There are writings from AD 259 that describe infants receiving the bread and wine from birth. As we've said, our oldest denomination, the Orthodox Church, children receive communion from baptism. And in the Catholic Church, First Communion, I said at 7 earlier on, I was corrected afterwards, apparently it's the age of 8. But nonetheless, children receive communion in the Roman Catholic Church. Later denominations gave children communion. For example, John Wesley in his revival meetings always included children in receiving communion. In the Church of England, though, we were for hundreds of years stuck in the edicts of our founders. Cranmer's Prayer Book 1549 stated that there shall be none admitted to the Holy Communion until such time as he can say the catechism and be confirmed. In other words, you had to be old enough to be able to say the Christian faith and be able to really explain what it means. And there was a right concern for respect and understanding, taking heed of Paul's warnings about eating the bread or drinking the cup in unworthy manner. The answer, though, surely is not to exclude children from communion, but to prepare them for what they are doing. And that is indeed obligatory for any Church of England parish that now wants to allow children to receive communion. There has to be proper preparation. But of course, there will never be full understanding. If we have to have full understanding to receive the bread and the wine, none of us can come up to receive. It is simple faith and trust we need like a child. Mark Russell, youth minister at Christ Church Chorley Wood, was asked about this. Their own church admit children to communion. And he says, well, children surely cannot understand what is going on. And he said, I don't understand it very often, to be honest, that God's love is so graciously poured out for me. There's an element of mystery that we've missed out on. So my qualification for communion is that if somebody wants to know Jesus better, communion is an essential part of that knowing. Communion is an essential part of that knowing of Christ. Vital food for the journey. Without it, we starve. And this is true for all Christians. We know that to be a Christian is to put on Christ, simple faith and trust in Jesus, marked in baptism. It is clear that Christian children, just as much as Christian adults, need to eat the bread and drink the wine of communion. So I repent of not considering these issues earlier, but I now recommend to you all that we begin our procedures with Guildford Diocese to start preparing children to receive communion in this church from sometime next year. Again, as Stephen Lake says, children are equal members of the church by virtue of their baptism and therefore should have full access to the sacraments, the signs of God's love, and most especially to the bread and the wine of the Eucharist. What happens now is that if you have any comments, please do let me know. We'll produce a consultation leaflet where there'll be a response form on it. The PCC have already talked about introducing communion for children, and overwhelmingly are sympathetic to the idea. So we will work through the ideas. Ellie, our families worker, will prepare children for receiving communion. So introduce that over this term. And then sometime next year, we'll make the decision about actually admitting children to communion. So pray that we value children in our church and in God's purposes. Pray for yourself that you recognise why it's so important, at least weekly, to be receiving the bread and the wine, why it is vital for your spiritual life. And pray that we will be a church of all ages as we're intended to be. Amen.